Happy feast, brethren. Thank God for another opportunity to come together as God's people to hear the word of God to grow. The title of my split sermon today is Path to the Kingdom, Pathway to the Kingdom. The pathway to the kingdom. Do you know the pathway to the kingdom? Are you walking in that pathway? If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, 13. Jesus Christ told his disciples, and this is what he said about the pathway to the kingdom. Matthew 7:13, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that finds it. Now if you also turn to John 14:5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The pathway to the kingdom is Jesus Christ. I want us to look at how Jesus Christ is the pathway or the way to the kingdom of God. How can we see God through Jesus Christ? How can we prepare our life? Looking at this comment or this submission by Jesus Christ or claim by Jesus Christ that he is the only way that leads to eternal life. And when you talk about Jesus Christ, how he came to this world, it all started with humility. Jesus Christ, according to the book of, I believe, 1 Peter, that said that he did not consider equality with God a robbery. He decided to take the place of a servant, and he humbled himself even unto death. So Jesus Christ coming to earth, he was full of humility. And without humility, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Without humility, we will not enter the kingdom of God, because it all begins with humility. Repentance begins with humility, taking responsibility and apologizing and turning away from our sins. And this was exactly where Jesus Christ started. So the first point in this message is going to be humility. Humility, if you turn to Matthew 5:3, let's see what the Bible says about humility. And how this way can lead us to the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to us if we will be humble in spirit. When we think that we know it all, we know the scriptures, we know everything, we know the mysteries, we are righteous, we are this, we are that. That's not humility, and that's not how to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God requires humility, poor in spirit, always asking God for more. Always with this understanding that our righteousness is just like a filthy rag before God. Always asking for looking inwardly and removing all those falsehood that fills our hearts, and always asking God for more. The Bible says if we are poor in spirit, that the kingdom of God belongs to us. If you also turn to Matthew 18, from verse 13. Matthew 18:3. Actually, I will start from verse 1. Matthew 18:1. And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So this is how central humility is in our spiritual race, in our journey to the kingdom of God. We need humility. We need to learn how to take responsibilities, and especially when we are wrong. And we must also learn how to apologize and say, "I'm sorry." Pride leads to fall, but humility attracts God's grace. So we must humble our hearts before God and before man. And this is how we know that we are walking in that pathway. We are walking on that pathway to the kingdom of God. Anyone who is proud, is not walking on that way, because it begins with humility. If you turn to Isaiah 11. So Jesus Christ said, we must be converted and become like little children. And Isaiah 11:6 said, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Whoever will become like little children, whoever is quick to forgive, whoever is quick to confess their sins and repent of it, will be a leader," not just entering God's kingdom, but will also be a leader in God's kingdom. Let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18:13. Luke 18. Okay, I'll start from 11. Luke 18 from verse 11. Two people went to the temple to pray. One was so proud, and the other one humble. And Jesus Christ said something about both of them. 18:11 of Luke. The Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me." Look at what Jesus Christ said. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." We are awaiting Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, when God will exalt us. Because we are humble, we are receiving the word of God, we are willing to change, we are willing to always repent, we are willing to walk with one another, we're willing to do whatever God asks us to do, and it requires humility. And Jesus Christ said, if we are humble, God will exalt us. James 4:6. James 4, 6. And he said, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. How can we enter into the kingdom of God without God's grace? We cannot enter God's kingdom by our own righteousness. We will try, we will be righteous, but the grace of God, we need the grace of God to be in God's kingdom. And the Bible says God gives it to only the humble. Only the humble will receive God's grace. And this is the pathway to the kingdom. Humility. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God a robbery. But he humbled himself. And when you look at the story of Jesus Christ, his father and his mother on earth, how he grew up, how he died. These are true definitions of humility. And this is where we want to be. This is what we want to do. This is the way that leads to the kingdom of God. Starts with humility. And look at what 1 Peter 5, 6. 1 Peter 5, number 6. First Peter 5, 6. Say, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Brethren, this is what we want to do always. Coming before God in humility. And this is how we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How else did he demonstrate this? The next point on this message today is love, the way of love. The way of love. The Bible said, God is love. God is love. Jesus Christ was humble. Jesus Christ was loving. He loved us so much that he came and died for us. And look at what he said in the book of John 13. John 13. John 13, 34. Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Without love, we can never enter the kingdom of God. Love is what gives meaning to everything we do. If we help someone without love, it doesn't have meaning. If we prophesy, know all the mysteries according to the Bible, without love at the center, it has no meaning. Love gives meaning to our Christian life. And love will sit at the throne when Jesus Christ returns. The King of the kingdom of God is love. And if we have no love, then we've not started. But Jesus Christ gave this commandment to all of us. First of all, say, love ye one another as I have loved you. And please turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, 38. Romans 8, 38. Okay, I'll start from 35. Say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's how strong the love of Christ is towards us. Nothing can separate us from it. And this is the same love that Jesus Christ wants us to love one another with. A very strong love, strong bond that nothing, not nakedness, not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not peril or sword can separate us from the love of Christ. 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So we are brothers and sisters forever, and we do not have any excuse to present to God that this is why I stopped loving my brother or my sister. Because this is the quality of love that Jesus Christ has for the church. And he wants us to love one another with this same love that he loved us with. If you turn to Luke 10. Luke 10 from verse 25. So Jesus Christ gave us a commandment to love one another. God also wants us to love our neighbors. Those are not in the church. God wants us to love them as well. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law, how do you read it? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Probably the priest was going to church, was trying to catch up, to preach the gospel. But this was an opportunity for him to demonstrate the gospel. But, he bypassed it. God does not want us to love our neighbor that way, with our mouth. God wants us to lead by example, just like Jesus Christ did when he washed his disciples' feet. God wants us to preach the gospel by the way we live our life, by the way we order our lives. We say it with our mouth, we say it with our mouth, and our neighbors, people around us, see how we live our life. In fact, that is even the best way to preach the gospel, how we live. So the priest passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, someone in the church as well, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. 36. Jesus Christ asked the question, which now of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? The priest who was probably rushing to the church to go and speak, or the Levite, or the Samaritan who took care of this man? God wants us to be a good neighbor, just as the Samaritan man who took care of this wounded man and, bound his wound up and helped him. This is how we help one another. This is how we love our neighbor. We are good neighbors when we do this. So we not only love our brethren in the church, we also love our neighbors. Anybody we meet on the way,
is our neighbor.
If they are in need and we have all it takes to help, the Bible wants us to help. Because this is the pathway to the kingdom of God. Love for God, love for the brethren, and love for our neighbors. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, have everything that we can do as God's people. But he's saying, if love is not at the center of it, we're wasting our time. Say, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no charity, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountain and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no charity, it profits me nothing. This is what the Bible says. Love must be at the center of everything we do in the church and outside the church. And this is how we know that we are walking with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We live in humility and in love. And the third point, the way of righteousness. Obedience. Samuel said to Saul, when God, sent Saul to a place to go and destroy every living thing there, Saul came back with some living fat cows for sacrifice. And Samuel told him that to obey is better than to sacrifice. We must always remember that obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants obedience from us, not just sacrifice. If you turn to Romans 14, Romans 14, 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if we also turn to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12:13, and it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. We must fear God and keep his commandment. When the Bible says fear God, it's not like God wants us to be afraid of him, but this is who God is. God is great. God is mighty. God is wonderful. When you think about it, let's look at that a little bit. If you turn to Job, the book of Job, chapter 38. Job 38. From verse 1, I'll read 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the lines upon it? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God was asking Job. God was talking about his greatness, who he is. And if you go to verse 12. Verse 12. God said, Has thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the end of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? I'll go to 16. Has thou entered into the spring of the sea, or has thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors or shadows of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? This is how great God is, and God is to be feared. David said in the book of Psalms, When I consider your heavens, the works of your hand, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you remember him? And somewhere in the Bible as well, God said, my ways are not your ways. As the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is to be feared, and God wants us to reverence him. And the book of Ecclesiastes did not stop there. He said, and keep his commandment. We must fear God and also keep his commandment. If you turn to John 14:15. Jesus Christ said to his disciples and all of us, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is how we show that we love God, when we keep his commandments. First John 5:2. Say, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So we live a humble life. We're humble before God and man. And our life is centered around love and righteousness. This is the pathway that leads to eternal life. And Jesus Christ said, a few are found on this pathway. If you turn to Revelation 22:14. Righteousness is central to the kingdom of God. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Only those that keep his commandments. The Bible said they are blessed, and they will have right to the tree of life, and they will enter into the city of God. If you also turn to Proverbs 12:28 tells us something about the way of the righteous. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life. So there is life in this path. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Jesus Christ said, he will raise us up from the dead, and he will give us eternal life. And the Bible is saying that eternal life dwells in righteousness. And Jesus Christ is a righteous father, is a righteous brother, and a righteous king. And he is the way, humble, loving, and righteous. If you turn to John 13, 17. John 13, 17. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, and he's still saying to all of us today, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So everything we're saying, we are saying it so that we will apply them in our everyday life. Jesus Christ said, only then we will be happy. Knowing it is not good enough. Knowing it does not transform us. It does not change us. We can only be happy when we do them. Lastly, please turn to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 from verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, yet shall not thy teacher be removed into a corner anymore, but thy eyes shall see thy teacher. And thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. And this is what we are saying today. This is a prophecy for today and for the future. And you are hearing that voice today, and we hear it every Sabbath, and every time we go to the YouTube or anywhere, we have our messages. And we'll hear this voice that says, this is the way. Not just the way, but the voice is telling us to walk in it. And we are saying today that humility is the way, love is the way, and righteousness is the way.
Amen. Praise God.